merciful God, Almighty, Father and Mother, Creator and Sustainer, Giver of life and all good. What a blessed privilege it is to realize that it's you who've called us together this evening. You who have been holding us together in your love while we grow, and you who feed us with the word of life. Lord, help us come open-minded and open-hearted this evening, that we might receive your offering with willing and ready hearts and minds. Help us be open and receptive so that your word might come to life in us and that we might become your word incarnate. Move in each and every one of us, Lord, in obvious and unmistakable ways to make it clear and evident that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who hears and answers our every prayer. In the transcendent Father, the omnipresent Son, and the immanent Holy Spirit, the divine indwelling, we pray.
Formation in Christ. The first reading is quite lengthy, so I invite you to just relax and listen for that word. Our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. Paul addressed the people in these words: I am a Jew born in Tarshish in Cilicia and brought up in this city. At the feet of Gamaliel, I was educated strictly in our ancestral law and was zealous for God, just as all of you are today. I persecuted this way to death, binding both men and women, delivering them to prison. Even the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify on my behalf. For from them I received letters to the brothers and set out for Damascus to bring back to Jerusalem in chains for punishment those there as well. On that journey, as I drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from the sky suddenly shone around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I replied, Who are you? Who are you, sir? And he said to me, I am Jesus, the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. My companions saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who spoke to me. I asked, What shall I do, sir? The Lord answered me, Get up and go to Damascus, and there you will be told about everything appointed for you to do. Since I could not see anything because of the brightness of the light, I was led by hand by my companions and entered Damascus. A certain Ananias, a devout observer of the law and highly spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and stood there and said, Saul, my brother, regain your sight. At that moment I regained my sight and saw him. Then he said, The God of our ancestors designated that you know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear the sound of his voice. For you will be the witness, his witness, before all, to what you have seen and heard. Now why delay? Get up and have yourself baptized and your sins washed away, calling upon his name. The word of the Lord. Our psalm is 117 in the response, "Go out to all the world and tell the good news." Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. For steadfast is his kindness toward us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Alleluia, alleluia. I chose you from the world to go and bear fruit that will last, says the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and they will drink any deadly thing, and it will not harm them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." This is the gospel of the Lord.
At the Blanton Gallery at UT, there's a gallery where you come through a door, and the first thing you see framed by that door is an astonishingly compact and yet intense view of what we just heard about in Acts. There's Paul laying on the ground, holding his hands up to protect from some blinding light. The horse is rearing, its eyes are bulging with fear. The accompanying soldiers are in shock and disarray. And there's a whole story presented in that painting, probably 4x8, maybe the size of it. Yeah, pretty big. But it's crunched. It's so full. It's so intense that you really have to be with it for a minute to let it kind of soak in, and to let the intention of the artist come through to some degree. Now, I've seen many paintings of this very same scene, and have read about it in many contexts. It's a moment in time when something happened that proved to be pivotal for us personally as we sit here today, and for mankind as a whole. Because the impact Christianity has had on the earth, whether you like it or not, whether you think it's been beneficent or harmful, the impact is obvious. This moment in particular was a big moment in that process. Now, Paul recounts his credentials. "I'm a Jew, raised by Jews, in strict accordance with the law of our ancestors. And I was schooled at the feet of Gamaliel, who was the what I am at that time." Gamaliel is still quoted, often quoted today, a great teacher of his time. And so Paul's giving his credentials because he wants this story to have the impact that was present in that painting. That whole energy that has resulted in all these paintings and all this art and all this commentary happened because Paul expressed what happened to him in a way that was absolutely impactful. You can't write him off as a flake, he's saying. I'm just not some new age, you know, Canaanian. I'm a Jew of Jews. I've got the real credentials, and I was so set in my religious zeal on destroying this sect that's coming up and dividing our people. I was so set on it. And then something happened to me that turned the whole enterprise on its head. It turned things around so dramatically that it's hard to find a contemporary example of someone who was so dramatically changed. I used to think of the Ayatollah Khomeini, which was a big bad guy in my time. It may be out of date to talk about the Ayatollah, I don't know. But it would be like, instead of hating Christians in the West as the great Satan, it would be like the Ayatollah started loving Christians and became a Christian and turned into Western culture and got married. The change in Paul is cleaving his life in twain, before this and after this. And so out of this moment, when he's blinded by a light, a voice comes from someplace he can't see, and it asks him a question. Why are you doing this? Why are you getting these people? They're me. He said, who are you, sir? Clearly, if he's saying, sir, this was a masculine voice, an assertive voice. In addition to the flash, there's an authoritative voice speaking, and it's interrogating him. Why are you persecuting me? Who are you, sir? I am Jesus, whom you persecute. And of course, when we realize the oneness that we understand today, we can see that any time one of Jesus' followers was being persecuted, Jesus was being persecuted. So Paul is blinded, led to Damascus. There's a period of healing that goes on. We don't know how long that was. Ananias comes to him, heals him, at the instruction of an angel. And then Paul goes on about the business of Christianizing the Mediterranean world. The zeal that he had, being against the way, the followers of the way, and the zeal that he had in participating in the worldwide spread of the way, were the zeal that God gave him, and a zeal that God used in a very precise way. One of the key principles in the spiritual life is what gets your attention gets you. Could be summarized that way. What gets your attention gets you. And so Paul, in his zeal, gives his full attention to these Christians. And Christ got him. In Revelation, there's one of the letters to one of the churches. I think it may be the church at Smyrna. The angel says to the church, you are neither hot nor cold. Oh, how I wish you were hot or cold, but since you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. It's that very urgency and that very zeal that Paul Saul had, both in persecuting Christians and in converting people to Christianity. That's why he was so powerful. His intensity, he was on the journey, whether it was to protect Judaism from upstarts or to convert people who formerly were blind and did not see to what he had now been given to see. But it was his willing to go to fantastic ends that's partly responsible for us being here today, because this guy really got a lot of trouble. If you read the book of Acts, you'll be reading one of the greatest adventure stories ever put to paper. And the amazing part of it is, it's all true. Now, we're in an age when it's fashionable to wonder, is all this stuff true? Or is it just kind of accounts that people gave to justify experiences they weren't quite sure they were having? And Paul wants us to know he's a witness. And he's such a witness that he goes and gets beaten with rods, gets 40 minus one lashes several times, is left for dead after being stoned, is pommeled and beaten on many occasions, floating in the ocean, shipwrecked. There were so many things that happened to this guy. But it's the same zeal that he had in being against God that's now at work for the Christian way as it's being presented to the world. This is not a lukewarm man. And because he's not lukewarm, the things he gives his attention to become manifested. And every time I read this, it's a question for me. Have I become lukewarm? Have I gotten to a place that's kind of good enough? Maybe I need to get knocked off my high horse sometimes, as Bernadette comments on this scripture. You know, Paul was on his high horse, and then he was blinded by the light. Who knows? But what it's telling us, I think, most productively for us, is what you give your attention to has got to have some juice behind it. You cannot just be a kind of bleacher sitter, watcher of the spiritual journey. This is put your shoots on. Go out to all the world and spread the good news. Heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free. The kingdom of heaven is here. And it showed itself in Paul, and it showed itself to the disciples, who were these ordinary people. They were just ordinary folk, fishermen, tax collectors, and yet something compelled them, 12 of them, to go out and do just what this risen presence told them to do. This risen presence that didn't even need to have a body to address Paul, that addressed his disciples in a body that they first didn't recognize but then did. This is the revelation to mankind that God can do anything. That if we have presumptions about, well, God couldn't do that, or God can do that, we don't know anything. But we do have these witnesses, these beings who gave their lives and more, who suffered greatly so that this gospel might be passed on. So that this word which had become flesh that might then move all around the globe. There were several times when Jesus spoke about when this gospel is preached all over the world, or go out to all the world. Now remember, this is 2,000 plus years ago. There's no communication system. There's no awareness of what the whole world is, at least at that level. But there's an instruction being given and inscribed in the Bible that has now become the case. The good news has been preached all over the world. Now the question I ask myself, am I zealous enough in receiving it, as Paul was in giving it? Am I zealous enough in my own response to the word to justify the acts of faith and the risks and pain taken by the disciples? To follow forth that great invocation, that great duration. I can't think of the word right now. It's a question for every day. There's not a finish line where it's now I'm over there. Did I do well? What was my time? It's nothing like that at all. I can be zealous 1 minute and lukewarm the next. I can be for something 1 minute and against it the next. There's an educational process here in which each of us is being taught through the circumstances of our lives what to be hot for, what to be cold for, and what not to care about at all, not to give any attention to. But if it's the spiritual journey that we've chosen, then we're the ones who are going to be raised from the dead. We're the ones who are going to be given our eyes back to really see. We're the ones whose uncleanness, leprosy, is going to be healed, or we feel redeemed and being given brand new lives. So the preaching that we do then is the kind that St. Francis offered, instructed his disciples, and Ilya reminded of us of, which was go preach the gospel, use words if necessary. And I think that's the gift that Paul gave us. You can trust God. The disciples gave us that. You can trust God. And so we just walk God's walk while being ordinary people like fishermen and tax collectors and prostitutes or whatever it happens to be. God is God everywhere there is anything. And when we know that, we live in a different world. Amen. Amen. The love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ are with us now and always. Amen.